Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. We're mixing it up again because I'm the host and I have three special guests this time. Pat Lencioni.
Yep, got my name right. Thank you, Cody. Right.
Amy Hyatt.
Hello, everyone.
And Tracy Noble.
Hi, Cody.
All here. And what we're doing is we're bringing this group together because this is kind of the group, Pat, you know, as the main person here, but this is the group that writes, edits, and puts the book out there. So right. The last podcast was on your latest book, The Motive. And I thought it would be interesting. We all thought it would be interesting to tell our leaders about how these books go from ideas to actually being out in the marketplace.
Yeah, a lot of people ask, how long does it take and how do you do it? Whether it's a kid that wants to be an author or one of our clients or just a friend. And so we thought, hey, let's just do a short podcast and talk about that.
Yeah, that's right. It's fun.
So aside from sitting in a room, I think I'll go first because I started here 5 years ago. You guys are all founders. I've been a part of two book launches. This is the first time I've ever worked for an author. And I have to tell you that I sort of thought that every author got a cabin in the woods and went up to the woods with an idea and a computer or a typewriter and then came back with a manuscript. Right. And that is definitely not how it works here.
That movie Misery with James Caan where woman?
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates. And she stalks him. That's a Stephen King one. Yeah, I thought that too until I started writing books myself.
John Boy Walton was your inspiration?
That's right. He was a writer in the mountains of West Virginia or something. For me, the problem is I'm an extrovert. I'm an ENFP. So I can't stand to be by myself. So the most I can spend by myself writing is about a day and a half. And that's a long time.
Yep.
So for me, I do most of my writing at a hotel, which is about 2 miles from our office and about another 2 miles on the other side from my home. And then I'll go there for a couple days at a time and write usually at night when my kids are in bed and then get up in the morning and write and then call somebody over from the office who will come over and talk to me about it and give me feedback. So mine is a very interactive, sporadic exercise.
And you love to engage on the ideas and the models and the characters.
Yes. Right.
You want to talk through it. I think that's one reason why, especially you and Tracy, produce such a good book because you guys are opposites.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In terms of how you approach things, and you're all about the ideas and the creativity, and she's more about making it come together. I don't know how to describe it, but
and that's one of the things people ask is who writes your books? Because a lot of people have ghostwriters. I write all of them. I've wanted to be a writer since I was a kid, and I love writing, but I'm not a good editor. And so when I write, the person I'm writing for is Tracy. And I'm late at night writing, and I'm thinking, I wonder if she's going to like this tomorrow morning, because she'll read it right away.
And she'll be like, Pat, that character has been pregnant for 17 months.
Exactly, because I write fiction.
She does that often.
And she's like, you know, doesn't work. And I'm like, oh. So she sees those things and has me fix them. You also, Tracy, are not afraid to tell me that it needs to be better.
That's right. Yeah, I love... It is a highlight when you're writing a book for me as your editor.
Oh, really?
It's my favorite time of the year. It's like, oh, good. Pat's writing another book. I love it when I wake up in the morning and there's a manuscript in my inbox. I read it from beginning to end every single time. So I don't pick up where you left off last time. I read it from the beginning to the very end.
By the time one of my books is finished, how many times have you read it?
Oh, gosh. Hundreds.
You know, and it's funny because when I write, I don't pick up where I left off either.
Yeah, I know.
And so I will start and reread it.
Yes.
Until I get to this. So I probably do also.
Yeah.
And it helps me in context because otherwise I feel like a character is going to lose who they are if I don't really reread.
Right. Oh, I have a good question.
Oh, yeah.
What was the hardest book to write? I think I know.
I'm curious
to know if you remember.
Well, you guys were around. It's hard for me to remember their hardest book. Do you think it was The Advantage?
Yes.
Absolutely.
We all are like, Pat, this question's easy. This is softball.
Evidently, I forgot.
You have amnesia.
Yeah, The Advantage was not fiction.
I think once you got it going, it wasn't... You did it.
It was hard to get it going.
It was just hard to get it going because it was new.
Because most of my books are fiction, I'm writing a story. Now, I will tell you this. I would have said that was my easiest, only in the sense when I'm writing fiction, it's a real grind. Like, oh, what about this character? What are they thinking? Mm. When you're writing a nonfiction book, you can say X plus Y equals Z. And you could just say, here's how things work. But in a fiction book, you're like, how do I bring that out? And the characters and the dialogue.
Right.
It's more fun, but it's a little more exhausting. Mm-hmm. But I think because since I've been a kid, I wanted to be a fiction writer, it flows pretty naturally.
And that's true. Once you got it figured out, it went pretty fast, but it was just that painful kind of birthing of the of how it was going to go.
Oh yeah, but it was fun though.
Yeah,
we were at that one up in Napa.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that's the other thing. Writing a book for me is a very group project. I am the writer. But man, do I go to people and go, what do you think of this? And what do you think of this? And what do you think about this character? And what about the model? And how does this... So by the time it's done, our entire office has been a part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other myth that's worth like kind of dispelling before I got here, I sort of thought that anyone who wrote more than one or two books was just kind of like a serial writer. They just thought, oh, I'm going to sit down and write because that's what I do. And what I love, I think like in the last 6 or 7 books, you've thought, well, this is my last book.
Yeah.
You don't have a list of topics that you're like, oh, I'm going to knock this one out and then knock this one out. These are all born out of the experiences that we have with clients or seeing something in the market that is really intriguing. And a lot of these like start as ideas that prove out in face validity in our consulting. And then you write about in fiction and sort of apply in a way that people can use.
Yeah. I'll be sitting with a client and something will dawn on me. And I'll think, oh my gosh. And my first thought is, man, I should tell somebody about that. Maybe we should write an article about that. And then somebody was like, I think that's actually a book. And you know how many conversations we've had in the kitchen here at work or in the hallway.
Oh yeah. Endless conversations.
We have a topic tabled right now for the next book.
Yes,
we do. We won't talk about that just yet.
And you know,
yet.
I always want to start writing it before the other one's finished.
Yes,
that's right.
Which is one of Tracy's challenges is to get me to finish the last one. But yeah, usually though, I don't have another one teed up.
Right.
And after I wrote the second one, I thought it was going to be done. And I'm glad we didn't stop because the third one was The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team and that took off.
Another little insider baseball thing is now I've been here for 2 books. The fact, this is, I think, unique just of you and our culture here, but you have to get the title early on because it helps you frame what you're writing.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure that's true of every writer.
Right. I not only have to get the title, but I want to design the cover and the thing. And it always changes.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever had one. The motive probably was the clearest we've ever been. This most recent book.
Pretty easy.
But
the
other ones we've had a wall of all the titles we've come up with and all the book covers.
Yep.
But for me, if I can't see it, it's hard for me to write to it.
Right.
It would take months to title a book.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It drives the J's in our office crazy.
It's fun. I've learned to love it though.
I think it takes longer for us to title and cover the book than it does for you to write
yes,
the book.
Yes, yes, yes. The collective energy.
I'm certain of that.
You know, what's funny too is like people say, how long does it take? That's the biggest question. How long does it take to write a book? And I think the soup to nuts process is like 9 months for me. It's like a baby.
Yep.
But I don't write full time. If you could condense it all down, I think it's about 8 weeks.
I think that's about right.
But well, I couldn't do it that
I'm
way.
I'm going to challenge you. This last book that you wrote, The Motive, I am convinced that you wrote that book in 1 week.
We were just talking about that, Tracy and I, because we're on the content team. And there was a day, Tracy and I remember it, that you were at the hotel and you were up at night writing. And we had already had maybe 30 pages of the manuscript beforehand. And then you sent us an email that was like, here's what I worked on last night. It was like an additional 45, 50 pages.
Yeah.
When I got done reading it, I looked at Tracy. She was reading it at the desk across from me. I just started laughing because I thought it was just like, you might as well have been a magician
room. You were like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I remember that night going, I don't think I've ever written so much so fast.
Yeah.
Of course, until Tracy reads it, I don't know if it's any good because I've done that probably in the past. She's like, yeah, what were you drinking last night?
Yeah.
But that one came very, very fast.
Of course, you had been thinking about it for 9 months prior to that. And you do a lot of writing, imagining in your head.
Yeah, I'm running. I used to run or in the shower or exercising or driving.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just thinking that, you know, maybe you could have a book done by next Friday. You know, if
that'd be great.
Another book,
if it were on the right thing.
Well, but it actually speaks to some, like a mantra we use around here all the time is you have to slow down to go fast. And and all that pre-work and us working through the model and you working through the story in your head, all of that kind of is the slow down part. And then you go fast, you know, and in spurts.
It's like bamboo plant, you know, it's like you're working on it, you're thinking about it, you're wrestling, and then suddenly it just takes off.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But at the beginning, it can be kind of frustrating. I mean, we've had some books where it's like, Pat, your deadline is like 2 months, but it always comes together, thank God. You know, another thing I like to do, and I always forget to tell people about this, and I even forget to do it sometimes because I'm so busy, is my favorite way to write is to go to a hotel, but to sit in the lobby. And like after hours, so people are kind of coming in and out and I get to see people and I'm sitting there distracted and watching people interact with one another. that actually is better than sitting in a room by myself. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm sitting by myself, sometimes I could stare at the wall and it gets a little crazy.
Well, I know people always ask you, now, are you basing these characters on real people? You know, that's a question that I hear get asked a lot. And the answer is largely no, right?
No. Yeah, I don't. No, I just don't. And I know people are like, oh, come on, that has to be a person. But I really like to create characters. I create their backstories, who they are. And occasionally,
they're Myers-Briggs types.
What's that?
They're Myers-Briggs types.
Oh, yeah. I'd say, what's their Myers-Briggs type? Who are they? Why would they act this way? And I learned that as a screenwriting student in college. But no, I create my characters from fiction. And then I get very attached to them. You know?
But tell us about the names of your characters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, so the names, the first book I wrote, I think had most of my family names in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And my dad's name and other names. And then I wrote another one and it came, I didn't know I was going to write all these books. Now, I mean, like I've got my friends, my son's friends in college.
Right.
I'm like, hey, I wrote a book with your name in it and your name in it and your last name. And I saw a woman, a young lady at college the other day named Rita, who's a friend mm-hmm. of my son's. And I went to her and I said, hey, Rita, I forgot. I named a character after you. She's like, oh my gosh.
Right.
Because trying to come up with something.
The surefire way to have someone in the book named after someone is to have a kid. Like there were two of us in the office that had babies and both of them ended up in the book.
Yeah, right. Quinn is in the book. That's right. And Ryder. That's right.
My kids are in there somehow.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Can't remember which book, but.
But what I want to say is this. What I love is watching the book get edited. And Amy, you were my first editor mm-hmm. of my first book. And mm-hmm. now Tracy is like amazing editor. Watching you guys read something and give feedback on it and hit exactly the thing that I'm struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll read it and you'll go, this character I don't get. And you'll go, oh, I think that's the one I'm struggling with. Or this part of the book doesn't make sense. And it's just so fun to have somebody else reading it. If I had to do this by myself, I don't think I could make it.
It's crazy how often that happens.
Yep.
I'll come to you and I'll have a list of feedback and you'll say, oh my gosh, those are the exact points I was struggling with. It's wild. It happens every time.
And the eat your children concept. Tell everyone about that.
Yeah, that comes from screenwriting.
That hurts me when I read your books. I'm like, oh, but I love that part.
Right. So I learned this in screenwriting. When you're writing a screenplay, there'll be a scene that you'll really love. But it often, you'll love it, but it's in the way of the movie working. Okay. And so you have to cut it. And it's like, they say it's like having to eat your children, which sounds really awful. But and sometimes I'm like, oh, that character or that moment or that thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And we have to cut it out of the book. And it's so painful.
Or a title that we get attached to.
Yeah.
And we think it's the right title, but you especially, you're just like, nope, it's not the right one. And like you get really attached to a title and then the next day you'll come in and be like, nope, it's not the right title.
Well, we've actually retitled two of our 12 books.
Yep.
Because I got them wrong. I mean, we do them together, but I think I was the one driving. One was The Three Signs of a Miserable Job, mm-hmm. which I loved that title, except nobody wanted to take a book to work that said miserable job on it. Right. And so we called it The Truth About Employee Engagement. And then the second book was called, what was it originally?
Obsessions of an Extraordinary Executive.
Right. And so what did was it originally called The Four Obsessions?
No, that's what it's called now.
That's what it's called now.
That's
I don't even know. I love it when people tell me about my books. And now we're going to retitle one too coming up because we have one called Three Big Questions for a Frantic Family. And I remember us sitting in the office going, we should call it The Cure for the Frantic Family. Somebody else said that. I said, no, but it's not a cure. It's too overstated. But we realized that's what it should be. Mm-hmm. So we're probably going to be recovering
and
that.
Even Getting Naked maybe should have been The Naked Consultant.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And everybody wants to ask about that book.
Yeah.
Especially like when little kids come into our office, like middle schoolers. Like I come in to do a session with a bunch of kids and they'll go in the conference room and they'll be like, what's this one about?
It makes it a little tough on the Google search too.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's true. Pornography is unfortunately the most profitable part of the internet. Sad. But anyway, so that's cool. What else is the questions that we could ask, Tracy?
Well, I know that some people always ask, sorry, Tracy, not to jump in.
That's
do you
right.
have one?
No, you go.
People always ask what your favorite book is, you know, the one that you wrote.
Yeah, and that's I mean, I'm not so attached to it. Like, it wouldn't be fair to the others. But my dad liked the Four Obsessions of an Extraordinary Executive. And I know why. And I think that was a good book. It really set the tone for others. I liked Getting Naked. That was fun. I used more humor in that.
Yep.
This latest one, The Motive, I think is the most edgy fiction in terms of their dialogue mm-hmm. and the twists and turns and stuff like that. So I don't know. What is your favorite,
I just
Tracy?
Reread The Truth About Employee Engagement, and that book was so incredible.
Good. So good.
I think that's my favorite now.
I did love writing that.
Yeah, that book is amazing.
But it is a little like choosing your favorite child.
Yeah.
I mean, even for me, and I didn't write them, but, you know, right. Of course, we've all been part of birthing them.
Oh, gosh.
That's right. So, and they've all done something for us.
Yeah.
And they all have their own unique personalities.
You know,
except for baby silos. We don't, you know, that one.
And they're all going to grow up and get good jobs. And
sound so motherly, except for right? silos. You know, yeah, they might be living in the basement.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Tracy, was there a question you said a lot of people asked?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about the endings. You really struggle writing the endings of your books.
Yes. I love that first death by meeting ending.
I know.
Tracy, tell them about that.
So Pat wrote a book called Death by Meeting, and he sent me the manuscript. And one of the characters, one of the big main characters, died at the end. And then he died. The end. And it was devastating.
And I was serious.
You were very serious.
We thought you were joking. We're like... That was
just
funny.
Like you had given up, like the end. But you're serious.
Yeah, so you had to go back and rewrite that one.
Yeah, I think it was probably in a very, very poignant time in my life or something. Right. I thought this character should.
This would be moving.
Yes, yeah. And it made you sad.
It did make me sad, but I made you rewrite it.
A business book probably doesn't need to bring people right. down at the end.
And then what was our worst title? Like not that made it through, but that was a draft title for a while.
Well, you know the title that almost made it. And my dad said, that would be such a great title, Death by Meeting. And it was going to be The Meeting That Didn't Suck,
yes.
a fable. Mm-hmm. Yes. We just weren't sure if putting the word suck on there was great. And Death by Meeting turned out to be
Death
a good title.
Death by Meeting is a great title. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. Tracy, what was the worst title we ever came up with?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think.
We were up in Napa.
Yeah.
Clear.
Yeah.
Clear.
So we were up there and we had this brain fart and we said, clear. I'm sure it was mine. I was like.
We got everyone on Skype to tell them.
And we said, here's the new title. Clear. And they started laughing. They said, yeah, what is it? We were like, clear. Yeah, we were joking. Because they were like, that's terrible.
That was for the advantage. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we hear about that all the time.
So many fun memories, that's writing right. all yes. these books,
it
raising
really
all these
fun.
Children.
Yep, I know, and it's right. hard to imagine that. I remember the first time a book came out, how much time we spent launching it and doing all that. And now this is our 12th one. I feel like a mom who's like, oh yeah, I just pop them out now.
I know.
But it's always fun. It's always different. And we hope you found that interesting little trip down memory lane. And
yeah, it's
learning
great
how
to give listeners sort of a behind the scenes look because it is so unique. And from the outside, you probably have all these preconceived notions about how this happens, but it's way messier than people think. It's not as linear as people yep. think. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fun process.
All right. Cody, thanks for doing this. And to our listeners,
thanks
as always,
for listening, Cody.
God
Thank
bless.
You.